Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. That's the name of this program. The website is crosstheborder.org. And go by there, find the email link, and send me an email if you get a notion to do that. We're going through Psalms, and we left off in Psalms chapter 40. Verse 12, looks like. No, I think we actually finished Psalm 40 now that I'm looking at it here. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee, and let such as love thy salvation. Yes, we were talking about loving his salvation more than anything, even our own life. He says, but I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. And move on here to Psalm 41 and verse 1. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. Yahuwah will deliver him in time of trouble. Yahuwah will preserve him and keep him alive, and he shall be blessed upon the earth. And thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. Well, sounds like a good plan to me. If you see trouble coming, and know that all of your giving has not been in vain, because it will all be given back to you. That kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it? Verse 3, Yahuwah will strengthen him upon his bed of languishing. Thou will make all his bed in his sickness. I said, Yahuwah, be merciful unto me, heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. Mine enemies speak evil of me. When shall he die, and his name perish? And if he come to see me, he speak vanity. His heart gathereth iniquity to itself. When he goeth abroad, he telleth it. All that hate me whisper together against me. Against me do they devise my hurt. An evil disease, they say, cleaveth fast unto him. And now that he lieth, he shall rise up no more. Yea, my own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. Well, there's a lot of that. There's a lot of betrayal going on in the world, and especially of God's people, because I think that the people of God are the most giving people on the earth. And those that they give to, well, there's a portion of those that will just get up and turn against them just that fast. But thou, O Yahuwah, be merciful unto me and raise me up that I may requite them. By this I know that thou favorest me, because my enemy doth not triumph over me. And as for me, thou upholdest me in mine integrity, and settest me before thy face forever. Blessed be Yahuwah, God of Israel, from everlasting and to everlasting. Amen and amen. And there we have the amen. And anyone listening to me now that has parroted the new thing out there that's going around, that every time you say amen, that you're paying homage to Amen Ra, which is really, when you put amen before Ra, it is really only a prefix to his name. You're not really worshiping idols. The Hebrew word here, if you mouse over it, your e-sword, you'll find that it is, the Hebrew is amen, is the pronunciation he gives us there. And it means sure, faithfulness, truly, or so be it, truth. Basically, what amen is, it's an affirmation of truth, or an affirmation of agreement when you use amen. And that would be to pronounce it correctly in from the Hebrew. And it's another one of those Hebrew words that was carried over into the English. Because if we were just going to, if they would have actually translated it into English, they would have said something like, so be it. It is the truth, or some type of affirmation. I affirm this to be true beyond a shadow of a doubt. You know, as the Messiah, as it's translated, the Messiah said, "Surely, surely, I say unto you," or "Verily, verily, I say unto you." It's the same kind of affirmation of agreement that what you're hearing is the truth. And that's all amen means, or amen. And some pronounce it amen or amen, but it's still the same thing. It's not a reference to a false deity that someone sprinkled into the Bible. We just rightly divided the Word of God there, so we can just throw that nonsense out. The stuff that people, you know, someone probably just made that up one day. They made a connection and go, "Oh, amen. Hey, I remember a phrase, Amen Ra. Oh, yeah, hey, that must be it. Oh, some evil people must have put that in there." With no research at all, that's how these things pop up. They pop up out of the imaginations of people that are stupid, because they'll just propagate something without knowing whether it's true or not. And then the next thing you know, 100 people are propagating it, especially today with the internet and videos and so forth, because that's where I heard about it, on the internet. And I said, huh, I got to look into this. So I did, because if it's true, I want to know about it. You know, if it was true that this is actually some, you know, that some evil people put that in the Bible so that we could pay homage to Ra instead of homage to our God, well, I definitely want to know about that. So I said, I got to look into that. So I kept my mouth shut, and then I heard it from some other people and says, okay, it's time. So I looked into it, and that's all I found, is, hey, it's a Hebrew word. It's simply an affirmation of truth, saying, yes, I testify that that's the truth. Amen, so be it. So be it accordingly. It's the truth. So it's an affirmation of truth, or an affirmation of agreement. Either way, I see it used either way. So you can search amen in the Old Testament in your e-sword there and find out for yourself, and just put an end to the nonsense when you hear it, which is what I'm doing right now. Because hopefully some of the people I know, I've heard it from them, and I hope they're listening, and they will discontinue the nonsense, put it to death. So he ends the psalm with amen and amen, or amen and amen. And if he was speaking Hebrew, that's what he would have said, amen. Chapter 42 of the Psalms, Psalm 42, verse 1. To the chief musician, Mashil, and this is another word that is Hebrew. Mas, to pronounce it, the phonetic pronunciation is Maskil, and it's just another word that they did not translate. I drew an illustration earlier how they did not translate from the Greek the word heresy, and we got a new English word. Well, Maskil never caught on, so we don't know what it means unless we look. Anybody out there knew exactly what I was talking about when I read this? To the chief musician, Maskil. Well, it says here, instructive, that is didactic poem. Did you know that's what Maskil means? So if they would have translated that into English, which I think they should have done, I don't know why they didn't. Maybe someone else out there knows why they did, but it's not obvious to me. To the chief musician, an instructive poem, or an instructive psalm. For the song of Korah, or for the sons of Korah. Oh, gee, the only Korah I remember is that guy from the wilderness who was complaining and getting other people to complain. Did they go down into a pit? I think they did. So this must be a different Korah. Let's see, Korah. I wonder what the name. And actually, the actual pronunciation would be Korak. Would be it. The name of two Edomites and three Israelites in the scripture. So there you go. Korah or Korak. Almost sounds Klingon for you Star Trek fans out there. For the sons of Korah, as the hart panteth after the water brooks. And what is a hart? It's a stag or male deer. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so my soul panteth after thee, O God. And I love this song. You know, I love to sing that one. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. I love to sing that one. This very moving, but this is perhaps where it's from. As the hart or the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? And I see him using the word Elohim or El here a lot. Elohim in the Hebrew. So I translate it as God, our closest English word. And I believe they correctly translated it God here in this instance when it's the 4H 430 for all of you that are following along in your Esword. You can see it for yourselves. Verse 3, my tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? So you have a man in some type of strife, trial, tribulation here. But does your soul pant for God? Verse 4, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Verse 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, of the Hermonites, from the hill of Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy water spouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Chapter 42 and verse 8. Yet the Lord, Yahuwah, uses by name here, will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? See, they have a mortal view. They have a temporal view. They have a temporary view of things. We have an immortal view. Our view extends beyond this mortal existence. It's forever. So they could say, where is thy God? But we will have faith in eternity while they're trusting only in the things of this life. And they're blind. They can't see the difference. They think we are delusional because we are not as limited in our vision as they are. They think that we believe in a fantasy because they can't see the truth. So they say, where is thy God? Chapter 42 and verse 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. I shall yet praise him, the health of my countenance and my God. Sometimes, you know, they add these words. You can see them in the italics in your written, or even in the Esword here. And sometimes it makes less sense when they add them, because if I read this, I shall yet praise him, the health of my countenance and my God. The added who is the health turns it into kind of a question, even though they don't use a question mark. So sometimes it was unnecessary to add those words in. And those words are added in with the authorized King James Version. That's the one where they also added in all the J's and changed all the names to the more Latinized phonetic sounding with the J's, like Judah, Judea, Jesus, and Jonah, and They got rid of the Yahoo and added an Ayah instead, and like in Jeremiah, instead of Yermiyahu. You see the difference there between the Hebrew and the Latinized version of the Greek, which is what is carried over, especially in the Authorized Version. Okay, we're in chapter 43 and verse 1, a very short one here. Judge me, O God, and please my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man, for thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp I will praise thee, O God my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the health of my countenance and my God. It really sounds like it's just another verse of the one before it, see that it ends the same way. You know, one thing I really love is all of my favorite hymns, praise music, and our psalms are taken directly from the psalms. And they are my favorites. I still have yet to find someone who has taken the psalms and really put them to music. Really, I mean, I'm not musical. And I wish that there were some out there that loved the Word of God and loved the psalms enough that had that type of talent to put things to music and develop melodies and put all of these beautiful words to songs so that we could sing them, to make them easy to sing for us, because that's what they were meant for. And many of them, you know, have been done, but I've even done a search on the internet, psalms put to music, and I can hardly find anything at all. So there's a ministry for someone out there to catalog all the psalms set to music, and so that people can start singing the pure, because they are pure. And as I go through like some of the old hymnals in the church, I find some of them are just atrocious, and a lot of them are good. I mean, I have some favorites, but some of them are just ungodly atrocious. The words, presumptuous and unscriptural. So just because it's old don't mean it's good. Well, there's a lot of good ones that are, you know, old, and a lot of old ones that are good, but just because they're old doesn't mean they're good. And some of them I open up the book at the congregation there when the leader says turn to page such and such in the hymnal, and I start singing these words and my mouth has to stop. I can't recall any specifically, but I can recall having to do that on a number of occasions. No, I just love the pure Word of God, and I love to sing the songs that are related to the Psalms especially, or that are takeoffs from the Psalms. And even some of those I would complain because they leave out some of the most powerful parts, because especially a lot of them have been developed, you know, in the worship choruses in the corporate church. And some of those things they don't want to sing in the corporate church, you know. It's just like some of the Word of God, they don't, especially when you talk in the Old Testament and they start talking about the law of God. Can't have too much of that going on. You got to omit those references from the Word of God and the Psalms, especially if you're singing them. But still, I love the Psalms, and I love the worship choruses and the praise melodies that are derived from them. Okay, well, that was a fast segment. You're listening to Cross the Border. We'll continue with the Psalms today, and we're looking for suggestions for our for next time to open up with another book of the Scripture and see where the Holy Spirit will lead us. We'll be back in a few minutes.